So I want to get right into this. I don't want to take a whole lot of time, but I think it's necessary that we bring clarity and understanding to why today is such a big deal for the believer. I know that we a lot of times we wait till Easter to talk about this, but the fact of the matter is we should be living this. This is more than just one Sunday for us. It's a lifestyle. Say amen to that. And so today is a big deal because we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in order to really embrace and appreciate the blood that was shed and the sacrifice that was given, we got to take it back to the beginning. Somebody say the beginning. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the man and woman, and he gave them dominion. He gave them authority, and he gave them permission to subdue the earth. It was their responsibility to make sure that everything that was established was maintained. And so he placed them in the Garden of Eden, and he gave them full use of the garden. But here is the stipulation. Here was the instructions. You can do everything you need to do in the garden, but don't touch the tree. Don't touch the tree. And so the beginning, he gave them all of this power and he gave them an exception and instruction. But then we have a dilemma here because they wind up touching the tree. Look at somebody and say, yeah, they touched it. I ain't got time to talk about it, but how many things that the Lord told you not to touch that you touched? And watch this. The fact that you touched it and didn't die, you still here. You should be able to say, thank you, Jesus. And so we have a dilemma. We have a dilemma because God gives them instructions and he tells them not to do a thing. But because of their disobedience, they touched it, they sinned, and they betrayed God. Here's what they did. They legally gave the authority that was given to them over to Satan. So because of Adam's sin, we all were made sinners. You do know when he created Adam, he didn't create Adam in sin. He created Adam to be fruitful, to be free, to have liberty to do what he told him to do. But because of that betrayal and because of that loss of instruction and disobedient, because of Adam, we were all made in sin. Isn't it amazing to know that because of one man, he put us in a predicament where we had sin when it was never supposed to be that way? Romans chapter 5 says it like this in the New King James Version. It says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Do you got that in the New Living? Can we look at that in the New Living if you got it? I want y'all to read this in the New Living. It says it a little different. Can we get that or do I need to pull it up? I need to pull it up. Y'all gonna work it? Okay. Look at, New Living. Because one person, watch this. Because one person disobeyed God, many. Many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be righteous. We were all separated from God as a result of sin. We were separated because of the fall. Because of the fall, let me share this with you. If you read Genesis chapter 3, verses 11 through 24, the fall of Adam introduced two kinds of deaths into the world. Because of Adam's disobedience, a spiritual death fell into the world, and there was a temporal death that fell into the world. The spiritual death caused us to be banished from the presence of the Lord, which means because of that disobedience, God said, y'all got to get away from me. You can no longer veil or rest in my presence because of your disobedience. The other transgression or the other fall of Adam, what the other death did was it gave us temporal death. You do know we weren't supposed to be sick. We weren't supposed to experience any type of illnesses. We weren't supposed to have those type of things. But because of the fall, a physical change came because of the fall. They became subject to illnesses of the flesh, which result in a gradual decline to old age and finally a separation from the body. You know, the Bible says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. That was never God's intent. It was always intended for us to always be in his presence. So I need you to understand that we had a dilemma. All of this was a result of Adam's sin. And every time I think about it, I kind of get bothered because all Adam had to do was do what God told him to do. You had all of the earth to roam around, and all you had to do was take care of what you were supposed to take care of, and here you are messing with the very thing God told you not to mess with. Therefore, sin came as a result of it. And we already know that the wages of sin is what? And so because of that dilemma, somebody had to pay. There was a ransom that was necessary in order to get us back in God's presence. So now we have a plan of redemption. Can I talk about the plan of redemption? God had a plan to redeem us back to him. He had to do something to get us back into his arms, back into his presence. And so the first man, Adam, sinned and messed up. So God had to send another man, Jesus, which is the second Adam, to pay the price for us. Somebody say redemption. He needed a man, watch this, he needed a man that was without sin to become sin so that we can become righteous. If you're taking notes, you should write that. God needed a man that was without sin to become sin so that we could become righteous. Bible says, get John 3:16 on the screen. I want to read something for you. I want to read something. John 3:16. Yeah, New King James. He said, for God so loved the world. Y'all know this, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. I want y'all to catch this. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the plan of redemption. I'm not sending the second Adam to come and mess up again. I'm sending the second Adam so that he not condemn you, but he can make you righteous and save you through him. You got it? So watch this. The assignment was simply for Jesus to be born to die. He was born to die because he understood the assignment. And can I suggest to you that in this season, you need to understand your assignment. Because the stuff that you go through in your life is not necessarily to break you down. It's just to build you up because you're going through your assignment. It was his blood. It was a blood that needed to be shed. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, in the contemporary English version. Y'all got that? It says, but if we live in the light as God does, we share in a life with each other. And the blood of his son, Jesus, washes away all the sin. That's the process of redemption. Somebody had to pay for it. I just heard James Brown. He said it's the big payback. And some of y'all that's been saved all your life, every now and then, you need to sit back and you need to think about the big payback. Because if he did not give his son to pay for your sins, you wouldn't be here. Somebody shout the big payback. There was a plan of redemption. God so loved the world, he gives his son. Son gives his life not to condemn us, but to save us through him. Redemption. Somebody say redemption. This because of this redemption, we get to the sacrificial exchange. Somebody say exchange. If you study out Old Testament, it was stated that the high priest enters into the holies of holies once a year to atone for his sins and the sins of the people. Once a year. You mean to tell me that all year we've been sinning and acting up, and we get one priest to go in once a year to atone for all of these days of sinning? Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. So the high priest would go into the holies of holies, right? They'll burn incense. They'll sprinkle, this is important, they'll sprinkle the blood of sacrificial animals. They would sacrifice these animals. They would sacrifice a bull, and it's offered as atonement for the priest and his household. And then they'll sacrifice a goat and offer it as atonement for the people. Now, you know, when I looked at that, I thought about that. Because I'm trying to figure out, why is it that the priest get the biggest animal, but the people get the smallest animal? I ain't understand that at first, but then I understood God's plan of redemption was, we're going to use a little animal for now. Because the next sacrifice that's coming will be big. Y'all ain't catching what I'm going. The first sacrifice for the people was a small, it was a goat. It was a sheep. It was small. But this other sacrifice that was coming was big enough to cover everybody. Somebody say everybody. The animal, watch this, the animal was sacrificed and the blood was carried into the most holy place beyond the veil. Now watch the exchange. Because we didn't have any animals no more, Jesus would become the sacrificial lamb. Go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and treated harshly. Watch this. Yet he never said a word. He ain't say nothing. Now, some of y'all, you can't stump your toe in the middle of the night without shutting it down for 3 days. I need 3 days. I hit my toe. Bible says he was treated harshly, but didn't say nothing because he understand that there was an exchange that needed to be made. He was led like a lamb to be slaughtered and as a sheep in silence before the shearers. He didn't say anything. He was led like a lamb to be slaughtered. Understand the exchange. The exchange would suggest you got to give something to get something. In this particular case, in order for you to be redeemed from sin, you had to give something to receive. There had to be a sacrifice to receive. Hebrews chapter 9. Can I talk for a minute? Hebrews chapter 9, let's do verses 12 to 14, New Living Translation. Yeah, we got to understand this exchange. This exchange, as a result of this exchange, let me help you. We don't got to exchange no more. Catch this. The priest, once a year, every year, had to come in and give a sacrifice, go through the whole ritualistic process for him and his people. Once a year, every year. Jesus come and says, we're going to do this one time. Now watch this. Because he's already made the exchange, you don't have to keep doing it. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Go to verse 13. Under the old system, watch it now, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from the ceremonial impurity. Go to verse 14. Just think of how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciousness from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. You should be happy that you have the ability and the access to worship the Father because of that one sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. I felt the worship right there because I thought about, can you imagine having a time where you were not able to lift your hands and worship? I couldn't even imagine waking up in the morning and not being able to say, thank you, Father, for just being who you are. I honor you for being Jehovah Jireh. I thank you for being Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shanish. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being the first. And I couldn't imagine not being able to do that. And I wonder, how can we come into his presence and not worship him where there was a point where we couldn't? Okay, it makes sense to me now, Pastor, why David said, I will bless the Lord, because there was a time where we couldn't. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. So look at this in the message. Every priest goes to work at the altar each day. Listen at this. Offers the same old sacrifices year in and year out. I like the message. The message just give it to you in a row. He offers the same old sacrifice. I can see the same old sacrifices year in and year out and never makes a dent in the sin problem. As the priest, watch this, Christ made a single sacrifice for sins. And that was it. Somebody shout, that's it. Then he sat down at the right side of God and waited for his enemies to cave in. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people. By that single offering, he did everything that was needed. So everything that was needed to supply the necessities as a sacrifice to God, he did it. He did it. When he gave this sacrifice, when he died, Bible says that the veil was torn, symbolizing us having direct access back to the Father. It suggests that we can now come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain whatever we need. The blood was presented to the Father. Now watch this. Now God sees us through the blood of Jesus. The price that was paid to us, it redeemed us. It set us free. When I was reading this, the Lord gave me some notes. I wrote it down. I want to share this with you, and then we'll move on. Lord help me. It says this. The result, no, not that. By the law, here we go. Jesus came to redeem us through Calvary. Everything that happened during the process was done for us. So the stripes, the struggle, the sickness, the stress, the strain, the disappointment, the dis-ease was all gone through the process when he gave his life. Therefore, since he went through it, I ain't got to go through it. So I pose a question. Why are you going through it? It was never designed for Jesus to give his life and give you this redemption process and make this exchange to go through all of that he went through so you can go through it. So now I got to stand in faith and receive what he already did. Look at your neighbor and say, he did it all. Yeah, I recorded a record a couple years ago. One of the songs on the track was, he did it all. Which means that I ain't got to go through it because he already went through it. I ain't got to be sick because he bore my sickness. I shouldn't have to be restless. I shouldn't have to be diseased. I shouldn't have to go through it because he already went through it. Now, this is the part where I can go down Calvary when I can talk about how they marched him up the hill called Golgotha and they whipped him. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And every stripe that he took on his back, he did it for me. Somebody better say, thank God. And so, that was my transition. Ellis is with me. And so, we got to understand that this exchange was what we needed to be sustained. By the law, watch this. By the law, there should be a penalty for the sin that was committed. But because of the sacrifice, the blood, somebody say the blood. God gives mercy as a result of the sacrifice, the blood. Even though I deserve the penalty, but the blood says not guilty. So what happens is, yes, Lord, even though I deserve the penalty, the blood says not guilty. God doesn't look at you for what you did. He looks at you for what he did. And so somebody should just say, thank God for the blood. Do me a favor, tap three people and say, thank God for the blood. Thank God. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. And so because of this process, the dilemma, the plan of redemption, the exchange, because of all of those things, it brings us to the benefits. Somebody say, we do have benefits. May I suggest that if you don't know what your benefits are, you need to read your benefit package. if you read your benefit package, you will find out that because of what he did, you are entitled to certain things that most people don't have. Y'all ain't saying nothing. So your medical is in it. Your dental is in it. Your retirement is in it. Your prosperity is in it. Your joy is in it. Your peace is in it. Your deliverance is in it. Everything you need is in your package. Look at your neighbor and say, check your package. So in the benefit of the blood, there is forgiveness and redemption for all sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23, it says, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And so we get forgiveness and redemption as a result of the blood. We get access. Somebody say access. We get access back to the throne. We get the access back to God. Before, only the high priest can enter into the holies of holies in the temple. But when Jesus died, the veil was ripped and we gain access. Somebody say, you got access. And so whatever it is that you want, you are able to enter into the heart of God, into the presence of God, and let your request be made known. No, I don't want no any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. I got access so I can go to him and tell him what I want. Access, access, access. We get access. That's a result of the blood. That's a benefit of the blood. Healing. Somebody say healing. Healing and divine health is a result of the blood. Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Yeah, everything you need is a result of the blood. Somebody say, I got it because of the blood. My peace, yes, Lord. My peace comes as a benefit of the blood. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says this. It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, I have peace. And watch this. I just don't have peace with God. I got the peace of God. I ain't got time to talk about it, but you do know that there's a difference. You can have peace with God, but when you have the peace of God, you don't really need God to be there because the peace is in you because you've already been with God. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And so not only do I have peace with him, but I got the peace of him. That's a part of the benefit package. It wasn't in my notes. I just decided to give it to you. Somebody say, get your peace. Just get your peace. Benefit package. There's deliverance. Because of the blood. Supernatural release. Rescue. Freedom. Liberty as a result of the blood. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 says, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you. And when I strike Egypt, those who had the blood, the death angel passed over. Can I tell you something? Many of you are here today because the blood covers you. Anybody got a should have in your life? You should have. I should have lost it. I should have lost everything. I should have cussed everybody out at the job. I should have thrown in the towel. I should have had a nervous breakdown. I should have committed suicide. I should have slapped him. I should have killed him. But when God saw me, he saw the blood. It was the blood. Yeah. It was the blood. Oh my God. I felt that old Easter thing done kicked in on. Somebody say, it was the blood that kept my mind. It was the blood that stopped the enemy from killing me. It was the blood that stopped the death angel. If you're gonna do it, turn the organ up, man. Somebody shout, oh, the blood of Jesus. It kept me. It saved me. It keeps me. It redeems me. And it will never lose his power. Somebody shout, oh, the blood. no, listen. It was because of the blood that when we were going through the pandemic, everybody was getting sick. People were checking up out of here. People was losing it. We lost our jobs. We didn't know what to do. But oh, the blood. You better catch what I'm saying. The death angel wanted you. The enemy wanted you. But when he looked at your house, he didn't see y'all. He saw the blood. Oh my God. Every time the enemy wanted to kill you, he didn't see you, but he saw the blood. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm so glad for the blood of Jesus. It saved me when I didn't want to be saved. It kept me when I shouldn't have been kept. You messed up. Yeah, you did. You know you did it. You know you did it. And you enjoyed it. You should have died. But oh, the blood. I got to leave it alone. I got to leave it alone. Open your mouth and say, oh, oh, the blood. It never, never loses power. It reaches to the highest mountain. Lowest valley. Oh yes it does. I'm so glad that no matter what happens, it will never lose his power. I feel like it now. Y'all loose me for about 2 minutes and let me preach like I feel it. I can remember a time in my life we were driving on the expressway. It was a blizzard. My car spent around 4 times, turned around. I was facing the opposite traffic. I didn't understand why nobody ran into me. But now I understand that it had nothing to do with me. But all the blood. Somebody open your mouth and thank for the blood. Somebody thank God for the blood. Do me a favor and I'm gonna get out your way. Snap your neighbor a high five and say, neighbor, I thank God for the blood. Snap another neighbor and say, neighbor, I thank God for the blood. Goats, bulls, doves couldn't do it. But oh, the blood of Jesus that was shed for me. And now I can live and give God everything that I have. My life, it looks better because of the blood. Say, neighbor, it was the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Oh, the blood. I feel real Baptist right there, Pastor. Sit there with your sadiddy sympathized self without the blood.
It'll never ever lose its power. Hey, it'll never ever lose its power. Some of y'all waiting on things to happen, but you better know that the blood still works. It'll never ever lose its power. And so, as a result of all of this bloodshed was done so you can receive his love. He went through all of this. He hung, bled, died. He was buried. And he got up. And when he got up, we got, y'all. I know you think your alarm clock woke you up. I know you think that you got this little supernatural thing in your body that wakes you up. No. It's him. And so as a result of all of that, he gave his blood so that we can receive his love. He gave his blood so we can receive his love. Watch this. It's not that we're so good. It's not that we're so perfect. We don't do everything right. We don't cross every T. We don't dot every I. But the fact of the matter is, when God looks at you, he don't see your mess. He loves you. God loves people more than anything. And so when he look at you, I know we mess up. I know people think once you get saved, you don't mess up. No, you mess up. Some of y'all is a walking mess right now, but God still loves you. Lift your hands. And so as a result of all of this, we have the opportunity to receive his love. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Father, thank you for sending your perfect expression of love to be sacrificed for us so that we can receive your love. And we thank you that because of your love, you keep us, you protect us, you sustain us. And so we honor you, we give you glory, we give you praise as a result of what happened on Calvary. So clap your hands and give God a praise for his love.